No, I did that on purpose. Because Brother Sarath is going to talk to us about spiritual deafness. And that's a whole lot worse than if you can't hear me. So, Brother Sarasi's topic, spiritual deafness.
Thank you, Brother David. Good morning, brethren. I'm glad you agree with me, because it is always a good morning when we can come together and worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And for the brethren who were not here yesterday, I want to reconvey the warmest love and greetings of the brethren from New Haven. What wonderful words there were when we first heard the voice of Jesus say, "Come unto me and rest. Thy load of care thou mayest lay down and be forever blessed." The ability to hear those words of life were essential to our Christian growth, as it assisted us in making a consecration of our all to God in sacrifice. Psalm 55 and Romans 8, 28 and 29. Hearing the voice of the Lord is essential every day of our lives, and also to God's faithful people throughout the gospel age. The message of all seven churches in Revelation chapters 2 and 3 reads, "To him that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." William Barclay's translation is more emphatic. It is the duty of anyone who can hear to listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. As in the physical, so it appears in the spiritual. To whatever extent we are deaf or hard of hearing, to that extent our speech may be impaired. If a person becomes stone deaf, he will lose his sense of speech. The only audible sounds one could utter in that condition would be shrieks and moans. This is the keynote of our message today. Listen intensely to the word of the Lord. If we fail to do so, to that extent, we may become mute. Spiritually mute. Having a severe hearing problem, I will refer to my experiences where it may be helpful to you, my brethren. Before I acquired hearing aids, brethren who had hearing problems told me that I spoke loud enough for them to hear. This perplexed me, for I thought I spoke with normal volume. After acquiring dual hearing aids, my voice toned down considerably, and comments were to speak up, "I can't hear you." In the past, I spoke very loud, but to me, it sounded normal. The same thing applied to singing. When I first heard myself sing, I stopped singing for a while because I was off key and I was able to hear myself sing. This experience illustrates that the sense of hearing is closely related to that of speech. This may be the reason why some of our brethren who have known the wonderful plan of the ages have had contrary thoughts, were led to contrary thoughts about God's plan. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Isaiah 18:20. If we neglect to listen to God's voice, we may become partially deaf to His word. As a result, our speech may be faulty, as our words may no longer coincide with God's word. The experience of Christendom is a case in point. During the first century, the early church held firmly to Jesus and the apostles' teachings and waited for His second presence. They firmly believed that when Jesus came again, He would reign 1,000 years. Revelation 20, verses 2 to 4. This was the period of the church's purity and zeal for the Lord before some of them left their first love. Revelation 2:2. As time passed, Christendom said, "My Lord delayeth His coming," and the love of many became cold as their hopes turned in other directions. They later allowed Grecian philosophers into the church and blended heathen mythologies with the doctrines of Christ. This led to the great apostasy, a falling away predicted by the Apostle Paul in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. During this apostasizing, there always existed our faithful brethren whose ears remain attuned to God's word. Those who became deaf to God's word concluded that the Roman church was to establish Christ's kingdom on earth without waiting for His return. Taking this view, they decided to urge things on as they became aggressive and obtained political power. The Roman Emperor Constantine recognized Christianity. In 534 AD, he recognized the Bishop of Rome as the chief bishop or pope. In 800 AD, Charlemagne, King of France, was crowned by Pope Leo III as he received the authority and title Emperor of the West. The so-called Holy Roman Empire thus had its beginning. What happened? The sad fact is they became deaf to the word of the Lord. They no longer heard Jesus saying, in Matthew 20, verses 25 to 28, "Ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many." They no longer heard Peter's words in 1 Peter 5, 2-4. "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples of the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. As they became deaf to God's word, they also became mute to preaching it. The only words they could utter were weird sounds, such as, "The Pope is God on earth." Eternal torture awaits all non-believers. The Mass is God's way of cleansing daily sins by the fresh sacrifice of Christ, and many more blasphemies. The lesson of the apostasy teaches us the importance of acute listening to the word of the Lord. Jesus set the example in John 8:26. "I speak to the world those things I have heard of him." There are two major causes of physical deafness. One is the accumulation of calcium deposits on the stapes bone in the middle ear. The stapes bone has been likened to a tuning fork, which transmits sound from the middle ear into the inner ear. As calcium deposits adhere to this stapes bone, the sound it should transmit becomes deadened, causing hearing loss. A simple operation can restore hearing by moving these deposits from the stapes bone. Some patients, while under local anesthetic, experience restored hearing while the operation was being performed. Could a parallel lesson be made in our Christian lives? I have a few suggestions, and I hope you will add others to the list. In Hebrews 12:1-2 from Barclay's translation, we read, "So then, in the arena of life, we are surrounded by a vast crowd of spectators. We must therefore, as an athlete, stripped for action, strip off every encumbrance and the sin which clings to us, and we must run with gallant determination the race which stretches in front of us. And all the time, we must concentrate on nothing but Jesus, in whom our faith had its beginning and must have its end. For he, for the joy that lay ahead of him, courageously accepted the cross, which with never a thought for the shame, and has taken his place at the right hand of God." These weights slow the Christian down, hindering our progress and impedes our reception of God's word. In the Apostle Paul's life, these weights were inherited titles, honor, position. He was born a Roman citizen, which for a Jew was a mark of distinction. He laid aside all these weights when he entered the new and living way. He did mention his Roman citizenship in the interest of the truth, but he never followed a middle course, pleasing the Lord part of the time and the world at other times. He maintained a single eye as his life was full of light. Matthew 6:22-23. One thing he did, and he informs us in Philippians 3, verses 7, 8, 13, and 14 from William Barclay's translation. But whatsoever achievements in my life and career I would have reckoned among the profits of life, I have written off as a dead loss for the sake of Christ. Yes, and more than that, I am prepared to write off everything as a dead loss for the sake of getting to know Christ Jesus my Lord. For that knowledge is something which surpasses everything in the world. For his sake, I have abandoned everything, and I regard all else as of no more value than filth for the garbage heap. Pages got mixed up. Is it any wonder that our beloved brother Paul spoke so eloquently concerning God's word? His ears were attuned to God's word. That was all he could hear. That was all he wanted to hear. Another way may be wealth. If we had large sums of money and could buy anything we desire, we may think we have no other needs. As earthborn clouds arise, they may arise hiding the Savior's smile. We may even feel comfortable in our surroundings. The more comfortable we feel, the less likely would we listen to the word of the Lord. In this predicament, if we strained our ears, we may hear Jesus saying in Matthew 5:3 from the New English Bible, "How blessed are those who know that they are poor. The kingdom of heaven is theirs." The accumulation of wealth may be a temptation in our day. Jesus revealed to John that this may be the case during the Laodicean period of the church in which we are living. Revelation 3, 17 to 19 from Phillips. "While you say, 'I am rich, I have prospered, and there is nothing that I need,' you have no eyes to see that you are wretched, pitiable, poverty-stricken, blind, and naked. My advice to you is to buy from me that gold which is purified in the furnace, so that you may be rich, and white garments to wear, so that you may hide the shame of your nakedness, and ointment to put on your eyes to make you see. All those whom I love, I correct and discipline. Therefore, shake off your complacency and repent." The purified gold is the divine nature. The true heavenly riches, the white raiment, is the robe of Christ's righteousness, which must cover us to our last breath. The ointment represents the truth revealed in God's word and our submission to God's will as revealed therein. Our natural talents, if not properly channeled, may be a hindrance in hearing the word of the Lord. If we became wrapped up in achieving the ultimate of these talents, what happens to our leisure time for study and communion with God? It may be crushed out. Listening to the word of the Lord is an art, that should be cultivated in our Christian lives. Another type of deafness is called nervous deafness. That's my problem. So these nerves are in the inner ear. Sound vibrations move the stapes bone in and out of an oval window, which vibrates 24,000 fibers, stimulating the attached nerves. From this organ, the neural current flows through the auditory nerves in the temporal lobe of the brain. This area of the brain is gray and covered with a tremendous number of neurons, which are interrelated and provide a fantastic number of circuits that can be hooked up in a great variety of directions. The whole operation of a sound wave entering the ear and transmitted to the brain takes place with lightning speed. The brain is programmed by years of experience to handle the impressions fed to it. The hearing process has been likened to a secretary who sorts out the correspondence, keeping only the most important items for her boss's personal use. So it is with the brain. Some sounds are rejected, while others have total attention given to them. This may be illustrated by our intermissions. We hear many voices, but we listen to the one we are conversing with. The selective process carried out by the brain is the main distinction and difference between hearing and listening. From the total number of sounds we hear, we choose a small number to focus our attention on. As the sound enters the ear, we hear. When we apply ourselves to its meaning, we listen. A person with nerve deafness receives the same sounds, but due to damaged nerves, the message does not arrive at the brain in its entirety. In my own case, the word cat may arrive as at, sing as in, cat as at, etc. There were times when my wife would ask me a question, and my answer would produce a blank stare, being totally disconnected from what she asked. You know, you heard about the patience of Job. You never heard of the patience of Anna May. The past 54 years, and I thank God for her patience. In the spiritual realm, some of the Lord's people may be afflicted with this type of deafness. We may not comprehend the Lord's message in its entirety. The message we do receive may be distorted, yet we sincerely feel the Lord is speaking to us, or we may accept what we choose to hear while discarding other words. It is well and proper to be selective to the things we hear. But when it comes to the Lord's word, we must pay strict attention. Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." It is difficult to listen when we are talking or preoccupied with our thoughts. We are encouraged in Psalm 46:10, "Be still and know that I am God." And Isaiah 30:15, in quietness and confidence shall be your strength. An old Hebrew moral reads, the beginning of wisdom is silence. The second stage is listening. The wilderness offers a clue in these sayings. It was in the solitude of the desert that God spoke to Moses, and Moses received God's word. Jesus was driven into the wilderness for 40 days and nights to be tempted by the adversary and to hear the word of his Father. The Apostle Paul spent 3 years in the Arabian desert in order to hear and learn God's word. Why the desert or wilderness? They were void of distraction. It provided the silent environment in which a person could clearly hear and listen to the voice of God. So it should be with us. We should seek times of quiet, shutting out all other sounds. At such times, we should listen carefully for the voice of our Maker as He speaks to us. He will speak to us through His Word and Spirit. Isaiah 30:21, sentence translation. Thine ears shall hear a voice from behind thee saying, this is the way that is right, that is the wrong way. This promise applies to every phase of our lives. In every predicament, decision, or fork in the road, we should seek God's counsel, direction, and blessing. We think of God's faithful servant Ezekiel, who was chosen by God to bring a message to his rebellious people. In Ezekiel chapter 1, God revealed his glory to him in a vision of his divine attributes. Ezekiel was so overawed that he fell to the dust, face forward. In the second chapter, he is strengthened by God's Spirit and told to go to his rebellious people with a message from God. He was given a scroll full of warnings and sorrows and was told to eat or absorb its contents. In the third chapter, he ate the scroll and God told him what to expect from his people. God promised to fortify him, and he was not to fear them. Thus saith the Lord was to be his only message. Whether they hear or forbear, he must deliver God's message. The Spirit transported him to Tel Aviv, where Jewish exiles were beside the Kibar River. Again, he saw the glory of the Lord, and God told him to imprison himself in his house. God's plan was to paralyze him, make him mute. But when God had a message, he would loosen Ezekiel's tongue as God's message would be revealed to him. In the fourth chapter, God told him to draw a picture of the siege of Jerusalem. He was to demonstrate physically what was going to happen to his people. God told him to lie on one side 390 days and on the other side 40 days, which represented time punishments for his people. He was to eat 8 ounces of certain foods and 1 quart of water a day. No more. This was to demonstrate the famine conditions in exile. In these four chapters, God did all the talking, except for Ezekiel's brief reply to God. What a good listener Ezekiel was. Everything that God told him to do would bring extreme hardship upon him. He could not even speak on his own. He had to lay on one side immobile, not being able to turn over. This was God's will for him. Ezekiel was faithful to God's instructions. How do we measure up to Ezekiel's example? Do we allow God to tie our tongue? Do we allow Him to speak to us by His Word and Spirit? Do we listen intently to His Word? How about the less comfortable message? Or do we cover our ears? Do we place our full confidence in God's ways, integrity, and His all-wise fatherhood? Or do we think He makes mistakes when trials come our way? A simple trust in God doesn't need reasons to follow His commands. God said so should be enough reason to carry out His will in our consecrated daily lives. Spiritual deafness can be overcome with God's help. One thing I found helpful to better hearing is looking directly into the face of the one who is speaking to me. Through body language and earnest listening, along with lip reading, a lot more may be understood. David said in Psalm 16, verse 8, "I have set the Lord always before me, because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved." What a clear view we would have of God and of our Lord if we do this. The word "always" in David's statement means constantly. Paul learned this technique when he said in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, King James Version, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God." With Paul's eyes steadfastly fixed upon Jesus, what he might have missed with his eyes, he caught with his ears. The constancy of Paul's heavenly vision and acute hearing was manifested in his life of complete devotion to God. The greatest example of perfect hearing is that of our Heavenly Father. David, speaking from experience, said in Psalm 34:15, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open to their cries." Also Psalm 86, verse 1. This means our Father pays attention to us. The vast responsibility of universal care doesn't keep him from listening to his little children as we cry for his blessings and care. Psychologists and counselors also acknowledge the importance of paying attention in the work of helping distressed people. In one of their meetings, a fundamental question was discussed. What single factor is most important in a counselor? Is it insight, experience, training, or technique? When the discussion was over, one answer had emerged. The counselor most likely to get results was the one who had mastered the art of paying attention. The reason is clear. Rich or poor, young or old, happy or unhappy, each of us has a yearning for attention. To be denied of it may cause pain. Consider the tearful child tugging at her mother's skirts, the rebellious teenager, the wayward husband, the nagging wife, the rider in the streets, all to some extent are voicing the same cry, pay attention to me. Pay means to part with something of value. In our study, it is time and preoccupation with one's own interests. I would like to share with you a true life experience to illustrate the importance of paying attention. In an article that appeared in a Guidepost magazine about 34 years ago, written by Donald E. Smith, quote, in a Nebraska mental hospital, there was a young patient whose depression and maladjustment was so deep that he had withdrawn from reality altogether. He never spoke. No therapy seemed to help. Also in the hospital was a part-time chaplain, not psychiatrically trained. Something about the young patient touched and intrigued him. He decided to set aside a few minutes each day to try to make contact with him. Sometimes he would read from books or newspapers, or he would ask the patient questions or tell him stories. The response was always the same. Blankness. Silence. Weeks went by. One day, having exhausted all topics, the chaplain went to the window and started describing the scene outside. The beautiful autumn sky, the leaves blowing on the lawn, a squirrel running through the branches of a tree. Then suddenly, a halting, husky voice spoke in a hesitant whisper. I had a pet squirrel once. The barriers had fallen. The first faltering step had been taken on the road back to reality. All of that happened because one dedicated, disciplined person was able to make his own ego hold its breath long enough for a tormented soul to feel the healing touch of attention and begin to live again. End of quotation. The person who sincerely desires to hear God speak will do so. The individual prepared and ready to respond to God's Spirit will be spoken to by the word of the Lord. The person who is alert and eager to carry out God's commands will find communion with Him to be personal, private, and very profound. To hear God speak involves three basic fundamental actions. Number one, we must recognize it is God speaking to us through His Word and by His Spirit. Second, respond to His Word in faith. This means we will have complete confidence in His commands and His integrity to the point where we are prepared to act. And third, run without excuse, delay, or debate to do what God's Word requires. Our simple reply should be, "Your wish, Father, is my desire. I am ready to cooperate and comply with it." I have a poem I would like to share with you, my brethren. It is called Master Seyan, and the author is unknown. My wife set this up in floral design, and we will have a bunch of these if anyone would like to have a copy. I'd like to read this to you. Master, speak, thy servant heareth, longing for thy gracious word, longing for thy voice that cheereth. Master, let it now be heard. I am listening, Lord, for thee. What hast thou to say to me? Often through my heart is pealing many another voice than thine, many an unwilled echo stealing from the walls of this thy shrine. Let thy longed-for accents fall. Master, speak, and silence all. Master, speak, I cannot doubt thee. Thou wilt through life's pathway lead. Savior, shepherd, oh, without thee, life would be a blank indeed. Yet I seek still fuller light, deeper love, and clearer sight. Resting on the faithful saying, trusting what thy gospel saith, on thy written promise staying, all my hopes in life and death. Yet I ask for more and more from thy love's exhaustless store. Master, speak, and make me ready, as thy voice is daily heard, with obedience glad and steady, still to follow every word. I am listening, Lord, for thee. Master, speak, speak on to me. Patiently hearing and obeying the voice of the Lord in this life will lead us to the moment when we shall hear His sweet, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Matthew 15:21, King James Version. I have copies of this, dear brethren. Please make use of them. If you wish, take some home to those who you feel may be benefited. I'll leave them here on the table. And my prayer is that God will bless each and every one of us, that we may be faithful, and that we may indeed hear His well done. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Sarasi. I probably mentioned to some of you that as I travel amongst brethren here, there, and yonder, whenever they're getting into a discussion that they can't seem to solve, I say, what scripture are you talking about? And there's sudden silence. Because they're not talking about a scripture. They're talking about their own ideas. And the gist of Brother Sarathi's message is, well, what does the Lord say? Are we talking about that? Remarkable how that can solve an argument. And then Brother Sarasi will ask our Lord's blessing on our fellowship over lunch. As yesterday, we go out here and it will be served in the lobby area.
Our beloved Heavenly Father, hallowed be Thy holy and worthy name. We are so happy and thankful for this privilege of bowing our heads and hearts in Your presence to thank Thee for the love You have shown unto us, especially in the gift of Your only begotten Son to be our Lord and Savior. We are so indebted to You, dear Father, in dispensing with Your Son and allowing Him to come to this world and to die as a ransom sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. We thank You for this convention which has been made available to us, where our brethren have invited us to come and sit at the feet of Jesus and to learn of Him. We are so happy to understand Your wonderful plan of the ages, not only for the church, but for the whole world of mankind. And so we continue to pray as a group of Your people, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth even as it is done in heaven. And now, dear Father, as we have our intermission and as we eat this food which is provided for us, we do pray that You will help us to appreciate the provision and may it strengthen us to do Thy will more completely. And as we pray for ourselves, we pray for all Thy dear children throughout the world. And we do ask forgiveness for our shortcomings and sins, and we pray that Thou will help us to be faithful to You. In Jesus' name and merit, we ask these favors and blessings. Amen.